New series is entitled Consider Him. And if you've not been able to be here, you can go to calvarymuldrow.com and you can find the last two lessons. As we introduced it a couple weeks ago, Consider Christ from Hebrews chapter 12. And then last week we talked about considering His presence, that the Lord is a very present help in our time of trouble. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And it ought to comfort us to know that He's with us. Tonight, we're going to consider His omniscience. Consider His omniscience. Jesus Christ is, was, and always will be God. And as such, He knows everything. He's the all-knowing Creator God. And what an incredible truth to study about our Savior tonight. So John chapter 1, we're going to begin reading at verse 43. John chapter 1 and verse 43. And when you find your place there, if you're able, let's stand together to honor the reading of God's Word tonight. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, Come and see. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight. Open our eyes to help us see Christ more clearly. Help us to be changed by your word tonight. To love you more, to serve you more faithfully, to be better witnesses for you. And Lord, I pray that if anyone here tonight, in this class or in the classes in the back, if they've never been born again, I pray tonight they would repent of their sin and unbelief. They would trust in Jesus with all their heart. And for all those who are saved, I pray they would take the next step, follow you in baptism and serve you in the church. And Lord, just help all of us to live for you faithfully for your glory. We pray it all in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. It's no secret that every year our society becomes, our world becomes more technologically advanced. Most of you have a smartphone, and not all of you, but most of you have a smartphone, and there's more computing power in that phone in your pocket or in your purse tonight than all that NASA had in the 1960s when we put a man on the moon. All the computing power that they had in Houston and in Florida and on the space shuttle, on the rocket, all of the computing power they had put together, you've far surpassed that by the computer that's in your pocket. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing to see how far technology has come so quickly. The amount of information that's at our fingertips, because there was a time some of you are very persuasive and you could convince people that you were right when in fact you were wrong, because just your confidence in what you thought was right. But now people just pull their phone out and Google it and prove you wrong. Not that that ever happens to me, Brother Tom, but other people that happens to. Google is used to settle all of the arguments in our house anymore. And I'm not right near as often as I used to be. No matter how advanced our technology is, no matter how much information is at our fingertips, there's still a lot that we don't know. We're just not capable of knowing everything. Though we might act like know-it-all sometimes, we just don't know everything. But there is a God in heaven who literally knows everything. Amen. We call that omniscience, omniscience. It's omni means all, and science is knowledge. And God has all knowledge. Amen. He has all knowledge. He is the all-knowing God. And it's really important that we understand this, because when we look at Jesus Christ, we know that Jesus became a man. And so we know that as men, we don't know everything, but Jesus was 100% man, and yet at the same time, he was 100% God. So even though he was a man, he still knew everything. That's hard for us to to wrap our minds around what scholars call the hypostatic union, the fact that Jesus was 100% God and 100% man all at the same time. His godness never diminished at all, and he continued to be and know everything. Jesus Christ, the creator of all things, God in human flesh, he is the eternal one, and he is the one who can discern the thoughts and intents of our heart. He is the one that knows all things. Tonight, as we look in John 1, we look at a time in Jesus' life and ministry. He had been baptized. He had begun his teaching and preaching ministry. He was about 30 years old. And we see him calling out a man named Philip in verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. So Jesus was getting ready to go into Galilee and begin his ministry there. And so before he went, he began to go and find men that he would call out to follow him. And so he goes and he finds Philip. By the way, if you're following Jesus, it's because he found you. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. We don't seek him. He found you. He found me. He finds all who follow him. To follow Jesus is more than just Jesus came along and saw Philip and said, follow me in. And he literally just walked with him down the road. To follow Christ means to abandon everything else and give everything to him. To follow Christ means to believe he is who he says he is. To follow Christ means to turn from your own ideas, your own beliefs, your own trust in yourself, and to trust him completely. That's what Philip did that day. And since Philip started following him, millions have followed Jesus. Millions have answered the call and have said, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And just like any true follower of Jesus Christ, I want you to notice the first thing that Philip did was he went and found someone else. You see, when you're following Jesus, one of the characteristics of a true follower of Jesus is you want other people to follow him too. The first thing he did was found his friend Nathanael and told him about Christ. In verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses said in the law, of whom Moses in the law and prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So when Philip finds Nathanael, he said, we found Messiah. We look to the scriptures. We know who Moses wrote about in the law and the prophets. We know what the scriptures said about Messiah, and we found him, and he is. Messiah is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And what an incredible thing to look into the scriptures and find Jesus. And when you know Jesus, to have a desire for others to follow him too. I find this odd about us, though, because we know that we're scared to be witnesses to other people. I mean, deep down in our hearts, we want everybody to follow Jesus. But we're scared. It's amazing to me, though, how it doesn't matter. Whatever's going on in your life, a lot of times you want other people to be a part of that too. You know, somebody gets on a diet plan that works, and they're always telling everybody else about their diet plan that works. You haven't experienced that? Okay. No, you're like, there's a diet plan that works? Yeah, it's called burn more calories than you take in. It's an amazing thing. It's amazing to me. I don't want to get myself in trouble by throwing out any name brands, but some of you get on something and you want everybody to join in and know how wonderful your thing is, and I see it all over Facebook and all that stuff. Man, and that's all good and well. That's all, whatever supplement you're taking and you want other people to take that supplement to, that's great. But it's not as great as following Christ. And when we're really following Christ, that's going to be what's coming out of our mouth. That's what's going to be what's on in our lives and around us. So it just permeates our life. We want other people to follow Jesus too. First of all, tonight, notice Nathanael's outlook. Nathanael's outlook, he was a skeptic. Like so many of us have been, and and maybe are about a lot of things. He was a skeptic like so many that we talk to in the world today. In verse 45, he says, we found him. We found the Messiah. And in verse 46, Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Now you'll notice that Philip came to Nathanael to tell him about Messiah. He specifically mentions the scriptures. And if you want to be an effective witness, it's vital that you use scripture when talking to people. Because my opinions don't matter and your opinions don't matter. And though your testimony may be good and your testimony may be helpful, it still doesn't carry the power of the Word of God. We can use stories and we can use illustrations and we can use all these different things. You guys have heard me talk about getting saved is like you got to trust Jesus like you trust a parachute and all of those different kinds of things. And that's all good and well, but at the end of the day, nothing has the power of the Word of God. It's the only thing that changes hearts, the only thing guaranteed to touch men's hearts. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, dividing unto the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And so we've got to use the Word of God. You guys are familiar with Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. And God has designed his word to bring faith to the hearer's heart. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we've got to know the scriptures and use the scriptures in talking to other people. And let me help you out. Some of you say, well, some people I talk to, they don't believe the Bible is God's word. But guess what? That doesn't change the fact. Some people don't believe in gravity. But guess what? A lot of people don't believe in a lot of things that are true. It doesn't change it. And God says that his word will not return unto him void. God's word will accomplish that which he sends it for. So don't be afraid to use scripture. Even if somebody says they don't believe the Bible, give them the word of God. I heard about one man who was saved just by this one verse. It just haunted him because the person preaching the gospel to him said, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And this fella said he didn't even believe the Bible, but he couldn't sleep that night because it just kept coming back to him. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You see, God's word can do that. God's word can get a hold of your heart. So many people today are like that. They don't believe the Bible. A lot of people want you to prove the Bible or prove God's existence without using the Bible. Friends, you don't have to fall for that. That's nonsense. That's like asking somebody to prove that oxygen is in the air without breathing. That's nonsensical. Listen, you don't prove God's existence outside of God's word. That's God's revelation of himself to mankind. Listen, creation declares the glory of God, but he's revealed himself through the scriptures. That's what God gave us so that we would know him. So don't be afraid to use the Bible. Don't be afraid to use the scriptures. How do we know Christ without his word? You can't separate Jesus from the word. He is the word. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's Hebrews 4:12. So Philip, when he comes to Nathanael, he comes using the scripture. But Nathanael's skeptical. Nathanael has kind of a negative outlook. If you look at it, he's cautious about the scripture. When we think about truths concerning God, we need to ask this question, what does the Bible say? You have your opinion, I have my opinion, but listen, God's word is true. Let God be true and every man a liar, and it's not of any private interpretation. It's not that you have your interpretation and I have my interpretation. Listen, God's word says what it means and it means what it says. You don't have your truth and I have my truth. No, God's word is truth. And it's our job to get in line with what he says. The Bible is the infallible, inerrant word of God. It is absolute truth. And it's so important that we understand that. A lot of people are more quick today to place their confidence in a dream or a vision or somebody else's word than they are to place it in God's word. I've heard people say things like, I know the Bible says this, but I know what I saw. Friends, that's dangerous. It's dangerous. We need to have full confidence in God's word. That's what faith is all about. That's the place faith comes from. And Jesus often reminded people of the Old Testament writings about himself. In John chapter 5, verses 46 and 47, For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? In other words, you can't pick and choose Old Testament, New Testament, what you want. You believe all of it. You believe Jesus, you believe Moses, you believe all of it because it's all God's word. And it doesn't contradict itself. And if you believe Moses, then you'll believe Jesus Christ. Luke 24, 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And I believe this, when we get to heaven, we're going to have a new body and a new mind. There are going to be things revealed to us that we don't know now. And I long for the day that I'll know what Jesus preached that day on the road to Emmaus. Can you imagine what that was like? Those men said, did not our heart burn within us when he talked with us of the scriptures? But can you imagine Jesus? Listen, we can go back through the scriptures and we can find Christ throughout all the Bible, but I promise Jesus can do it better than we can. Now, he started at Genesis and he went all the way through and he just pulled out all of the teachings about himself all along the way. Man, can you imagine that walk that night? What that was like. What a glorious, glorious truth. In order for people to understand that Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies, it was important for Jesus to be linked with the writings of Moses and the prophets concerning the prophecies of the King and Messiah, the one who would come from the house and lineage of David. And maybe Nathanael was cautious at first concerning the scriptural connection between Jesus and the Messiah because he didn't look too favorably on Nazareth. And he says in verse 46, and Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Now, Nazareth was close to the important trade routes in Palestine in that whole area, and caravans went through there as they traveled from Gilead to the south and to the west. North of the city was the main road from Ptolemy to Decapolis. It was a road that the Roman legions used a lot. So this was a town of the military and the merchants. This was a wicked town, a despicable town. This was a very secular, worldly town. It wasn't a place of knowledge. It wasn't a place of biblical wisdom, right? Historians say that if you want to be rich, go to Nazareth, but if you want wisdom, go to Jerusalem. So that was the attitude that people had about it. And Nathanael, in his mind, in his view, no prophet would ever come from Nazareth. In his viewpoint, Messiah would have to come from somewhere like Jerusalem. He wouldn't come from Nazareth. And so that's the attitude that he had. He had a prejudice against Nazareth. Now, I love Philip's response. Don't you? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Now, he could have argued with him. He could have pulled out scripture. He could have debated with him. He could have done all kinds of things, but he didn't. He just said, come and see. I'm telling you, we found Messiah. You don't believe me. Just come and see. Come and see for yourself. What a wonderful thing. Listen, when you invite someone to come and see, what you're doing is giving them the chance to see how Christianity is different from anything else they've ever seen before. I want you to understand tonight, as plainly as I can say it, biblical Christianity stands light years apart from every other religion and denomination in the world. Listen, Jesus is different. His message is different. His might is different. Christianity is the only religion in the world that offers any answer for man's greatest problem, which is sin and death. And so Philip didn't try to convince Nathanael. He just said, come and see. Come and see for yourself. A lot of times if I'm talking to somebody and trying to preach the gospel to them, and in the process of that, I always invite people to come to Calvary, and that's what I want to do. And I've said it to many people, just come and see. Come and see what God is doing at Calvary. Come and see. I believe the Spirit of God moves in this place. I believe that His Word affects people's lives. And so come and see. And then we see the Lord's omniscience. Look at verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Now all of a sudden, this man from Nazareth, Nathanael kind of likes him. He sees Nathanael coming and he said, "Behold," he gets everybody's attention, "look, here is an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me? Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nobody but God knows everything. And Jesus knows everything. It's so, so important, so vital that we understand that God sees and knows everything. In 2007, social media was really beginning to completely boom and consume our country. And a New York Times columnist named Thomas Friedman wrote an article entitled "The Whole World is Watching." And really what he was trying to say is everybody's a publisher. When you have a cell phone with a camera, all of a sudden everybody's a journalist. When you have social media and you can publish for the whole world to see, now everybody's a publisher. And his point was, because everybody is a journalist, everybody is a publisher, everybody is the paparazzo, everybody then becomes a public figure. You never know when somebody is videoing you or recording you or keeping track of what you're saying or what you're doing. You have no idea. And that's a sobering thought, isn't it? The other day, I accidentally called somebody from my phone. You ever done that? Have you ever gotten one of those calls? And they call. And sometimes if you don't pick up, you might leave somebody a long voice message, just recording what's going on in your day. You ever had that happen? And then when they text you and say, "Did you pocket dial me? Because based on the voicemail I just got, I'm assuming that was an accident." And then you have this terrifying thought, "What did I say? What did I do?" And you start thinking, "Oh no, did I say anything wrong? Did I say anything offensive? Did I, you know?" But you know, when you have that thought, it's good to remember that God is always watching and He's always listening. See, some of you, if you knew you were on camera, you would act different. Some of you, if you knew you were on camera, should act different. Amen? Amen? But God is always watching. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." See, we know that God is always watching. If you've been saved for even a little while, you know that God is all-knowing. Nathanael is learning for the first time that Jesus, as God in the flesh, is all-knowing. "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Jesus Christ knows your heart. When the Lord says, "Indeed, he's one that has no guile," Jesus means he's one that has no guile. Now, does that mean that Nathanael's sinless? No. Does it mean he's perfect? No. What it means is that he has a sincere heart. He wasn't deceitful or seeking his own personal gain. He was a man of integrity, and God knew that about his heart. Jesus knew that about his heart. He wasn't a man with guile. He wasn't a man with malice. He had good intentions. Jesus knew that about him. Doesn't mean he's sinless. Doesn't mean he's perfect. But Jesus knows who is sincerely looking for the truth. He knows. He knows. He knows everything about our hearts. Now, we understand all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone into his own way. And certainly Nathanael was one who is a sinner as well. But Jesus knew his heart. He knows our hearts. He knows whether you trust him. He knows everything. I want you to think about this tonight. I'm going to ask you a few questions. Just to put this in perspective. About how much better God knows us than we know ourselves. How many hairs are on your head? Some of you are like, not as many as there used to be. How about this? What were you doing 479 days ago at 4:33 p.m.? I can't even think of how long ago that was. What will you be doing in 479 days at 4:33 p.m.? Somebody's like laying in a casket. When you were in your mother's womb, what did it feel like when your eyes started to form? Now, some of you like to pretend like you remember stuff when you were 18 months old. We don't believe you. Amen. The last time somebody did you wrong, what was your immediate reaction? The last time the Lord spoke to your heart in a sermon, did you respond according to the Holy Spirit's leading? You see, God, Jesus, knows you better than you know yourself. Now, you might be able to remember the answer to the last two. Maybe you can remember the last time somebody wronged you, and you can remember your initial reaction. Maybe you can remember the last time God convicted your heart in a sermon and how you responded, if you were obedient or not. But the truth is, God's knowledge has no limits. He doesn't learn anything. He knows everything. He has something the Bible calls foreknowledge. He knows before. Because God is above time. We can't hide anything from him. But here's the greatest part of this truth. Your all-knowing Savior not only loves you so much he would die to save you, but he loves you enough to carry your burdens for you, even the ones that no one else knows about. Even though God knows everything about you, he loves you anyway. He loves you so much, he died for you. He loves you so much, he cares for you right now. Come unto me, Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He knows you, and he loves you anyway. He knows our hearts, and he knows where we are. In verse 48, Nathanael said, "Whence knewest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Now, friends, we don't know what Nathanael was doing under the fig tree. We don't know if he was reading his Bible. We don't know if he was praying. We have no idea what he was doing, but Jesus knew. And whatever he was doing in that time, when Jesus said, "Before Philip found you, I saw you there. I knew you there when you were under the fig tree," that was enough to completely change everything in Nathanael's life. That statement that Jesus made when he said, "I saw you under the fig tree," changed his life, changed his eternity. When he realized that Jesus knew him, he realized that Jesus was God. What a beautiful thing that the Lord knows us. In Psalm 139, the Word of God says, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together." Listen, he knows when you go down, he knows when you get up, he knows everywhere you go, he knows every thought that's in your mind, he knows the words you're going to say before you even think them. He knows everything about us. Look at verse 49. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Because he said, I saw you under the fig tree. Because he said, how do you know me? I knew you when I saw you under the fig tree. That changed everything. And in an instant, he stopped saying nothing good could ever come out of Nazareth. Now he is worshiping Jesus as the Messiah. You see, here's the reality. Once you come to the understanding that Jesus is in fact God, that ought to change everything. Everything ought to be settled from that moment on. When you understand that Jesus is God, now everything that Jesus says is God's word. Everything he commands you, everything he calls you to do, it ought to be settled. He's God. He is God. Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. He saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. We know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And as sincere as he was, Nathanael, like every other human being, has a sin problem that only Jesus can deal with. But something fundamental changed in his heart when he recognized that Jesus is the Messiah. As soon as he realized and he knew in his heart that Jesus was the Son of God, he worships him as Savior. Nathanael was a sinner without a Savior, but he turned to Jesus. He believed in him. We see the same thing happen. You remember when Thomas missed Sunday night church after resurrection? You remember that? He missed Jesus. He missed Sunday night church. He missed Jesus. But luckily, he was there the next Sunday night, and Jesus appears in the midst of them. You remember he said, if I don't touch his hand, if I don't put my hand in his side, I won't believe. Well, Jesus appears and says, here I am, Thomas. Come, touch, feel. I don't think that Thomas ever got close to the Lord. I believe that Thomas fell on his face right there, and he cries out, my Lord and my God. Jesus told Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Thomas called Jesus God. Nathanael calls him the Son of God. And it's so important that we understand eternal life is only possible through Jesus Christ. I've asked a lot of people, especially here lately, it's been on my heart. I've asked a lot of people when they're going to die. Some of you, if I ask you not when you're going to die, some of you think that you'll die before me, but you may be wrong. If you've been alive very long, you've seen young people, a lot of people younger than you die. The truth is, none of us know when we're going to die. I ask a young lady. Just last night, when are you going to die? And she said she didn't know. And I asked her when she was going to trust Christ as her Savior. And she said she didn't know that either. Friends, listen, you better not wait. Better not wait. Now is the day to be saved. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You know, on 9/11, does everybody in here remember 9/11? Some of you are kind of young. USA Today did a front page article after interviewing over 300 survivors and family members of victims after 9/11, and they concluded that those who survived in the South Tower were those who did not delay but ran for safety immediately. The North Tower was hit. Those on the top floors of the South Tower had 16 and a half minutes before Flight 175 flew into their building. 1,400 people in the building immediately escaped as soon as possible, but 600 people stayed behind. They waited. They waited. And because they waited too long, they died. And there are too many people who have had all of the warnings They've heard the gospel. They've been warned of the judgment to come. Literally, they can see the flames. They've been warned, and yet they stay behind. And I plead with you tonight, friends, if you are not 100% sure that you're saved, run to Jesus now. Don't wait. Repent and trust in him tonight. Don't wait. You don't know when you're going to die. Nathanael didn't wait. Man, I mean, it's what good thing could come out of Nazareth? How do you know me? I saw you under the fig tree. Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, the King of Israel. I mean, just immediately he changes his heart. Doesn't wait. He doesn't say, I need to think about this some more. I'm not sure. I'm not really ready yet. He immediately cries out to Jesus in faith. When he calls Jesus King, he understands exactly who Christ is. Jeremiah 23:5-6 says, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell in safety, and his name, this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Listen, when Nathanael says that Jesus is the King of Israel, he's recognizing him for exactly who he is, the eternal King of kings and Lord of lords. 1 John 5, if you'd look at this with me, 1 John 5:10-12. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. God has given us the record of his Son. And if you have Jesus, you have life. If you don't have Jesus, you do not have life. Listen to me. I'm not saying if you've heard of Jesus. I'm not even saying if you just believe in Jesus. I'm saying, have you been saved by Jesus? Jesus answered and said unto him, verse 50 and 51, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. He saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. I want you to look very quickly at Genesis 8:11. Genesis 28:11. I want you to know that Jesus over and over and over plainly declares himself to be the Lord God, Jehovah. He says here, you'll see the heaven open, you'll see the angels of God ascending and descending, where? Upon the Son of Man. Who's that? Himself. And this is the first time Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. He is the Son of God. He's 100% God. He's the Son of Man, 100% man. And he had to be both to be our Savior. But look at this. In Genesis 28:11, some of you remember this. Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. Now, next time you complain about your bed not being comfortable, Jacob made a bed out of rocks. I'm not down with that. And verse 12 says, And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Jesus, we see in the Old Testament, Jacob has this dream. He sees the ladder, Jacob's ladder. We talk about it. The angels going up and down, and he says, this is Jehovah God, Lord. By the way, in your King James Bible, when you see capital L-O-R-D, all caps, that's the name of Jehovah, God. And he says, this is the place of God. I see God. And Jesus, when he's talking to Nathanael, remember, we go back to the scriptures, right? Moses, the law, and the prophets all declare these truths. He says, you'll see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on what? Jacob's ladder? The Son of Man. Jesus is Jacob's ladder. He is the only way to get to heaven. And that's what he's telling him. What a great truth. What a great truth. Jesus Christ, the perfect, sinless Son of God, he knows everything. He knows you and he still loves you. And if you'll follow him, you'll follow his word. He will guide you every step of your life. Tonight, as we stand together, we're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I pray that your faith is in Christ alone tonight. If you've never been born again, I plead with you to trust in him tonight. If tonight you can't put your hand on your heart and say, I know I'm going to heaven when I die because I know I've trusted in Christ alone, you come. If there's anything that's not right between you and the Lord tonight, I plead with you to come. You need to be saved. You need to follow him in baptism and become a part of this church. Whatever decision you need to make, get your heart right with him tonight. Friends, he knows. He knows. And he loves you. And he wants to guide you in everything. You come right now while we sing.